Thank you for joining this series of lessons on the One Another passages. This morning, we're looking at understanding one another to help one another get to heaven. Really, there was so much to cover that we're going to break this into two parts. This lesson's part one, we're going to talk about the what and the why of understanding one another. And part two next week will be on how to understand one another and some of the blessings of that. You know, a friend of mine I grew up with up in Washington, he was, we were sharing stories from when we were growing up, and he said that his dad loved garage sales, loved them. And one time him and his dad, when he was a kid, they're driving down the road, and they were in a neighborhood, and there was a garage sale, and his dad said, "Hey, there's a garage sale." And he pulls in, and they go in the garage, and he starts going through the tools, and he tells his son, "Hey, there's a mini bike over there. Why don't you go see if that'll run?" So my friend's over there kicking the bike over and trying to get it to start. His dad's over in the toolbox going through tools, and the owner of the house walks into the garage and says, "What are you guys doing?" And my friend's dad says, "Oh, we're just snooping around," as he's going through the toolbox. And the owner of the house said, "This isn't a garage sale. I'm just cleaning out my garage." They just both froze. And thankfully, they just busted up laughing. And thankfully, the homeowner had a sense of humor, too. It looked like a garage sale, but it wasn't. Sometimes we misunderstand the intentions of others. Sometimes we misinterpret. Sometimes we misattribute the intentions of others. And think of all the possible reactions that could have come about of this misunderstanding. That owner could have come out with a gun, thinking he was being ripped off. I mean, that would have been a tragic conclusion to that story. Thankfully, they had a sense of humor and could laugh at the misunderstanding. We need to understand one another in order to help one another. And so let's take a look first at the what, and then we'll look at the why. First of all, the definition of understanding, we use this word in English in two different ways. And the Oxford American Dictionary defines both ways. We're talking about an intellectual definition and a relational definition. So, for example, understanding means comprehension, perception, intellect, judgment. That would be the intellectual definition. And then there's a relational definition, sympathetic awareness of other people's feelings, tolerant and forgiving. And the Bible uses this word both ways as well. It uses the word intellectually and relationally. So, for example, understanding refers to spiritual understanding. Colossians 1:9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." So the Bible uses the word understanding in an intellectual way, speaking of having the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. But the Bible also uses it relationally. Relational understanding, 1 Peter 3:7. "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." So that's the definition we're going to be looking at in this series. This is a one another series. We're talking about the one another passages on how we encourage one another, forgive one another, build one another up, even admonish one another at times. And so we're looking at the relational understanding in this context, but spiritual understanding involves both, because spiritual understanding involves all of reality, both life and relationships. So this is the definition. Of course, the source of all understanding is God. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. To God belong wisdom and power. Counsel and understanding are his. Proverbs 3:19 and Job's 12:13. So the source of all understanding, of course, is God. And understanding is actually a gift from God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So the true source of understanding is God. Understanding is a gift from God, and it's given by God through his word. That's why David says in Psalms 119:104, through your precepts I get understanding. When you read that text, he talks about the fact that I have more understanding than the ancients because of your word. I have more understanding than my teachers because of your word. So we gain understanding through God's word. And of course, it's a blessing. The blessing of understanding is a blessing from God. It's helpful in all aspects of life. In fact, understanding is one of the seven pillars of wisdom. Proverbs 9:1, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. And when you look at Proverbs 8:12-14, you see seven pillars, you might call them, of wisdom. And one of them is understanding. In fact, to put understanding into perspective, look at the three pillars together. You've got the first pillar, prudence, is the wise application of knowledge. That's the how. The second pillar, knowledge, is information itself. That's the what. And the sixth pillar is understanding, which is the why. So without the why, without understanding, we won't make proper application of the how and the what. So this is spiritual wisdom that includes understanding. Understanding how to deal with life, how to deal with decisions, people, conflicts, relationships. This is exactly what Solomon asked for when he was called to be king of Israel. In 1 Kings 3:7, Solomon in prayer says, "Now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" This was a dream in which God had asked Solomon what he wanted. And Solomon asked for understanding, an understanding heart to judge God's people. In verse 10, the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you." That's how important understanding is. And it pleased God that that's what Solomon asked for. So this is what understanding is, but let's look at why we need it. why we need understanding. We're going to look at 8 reasons, and of course there's more, but I'm just going to list 8 main reasons here in context to this One Another series. And in that context, we need understanding for conflict resolution. That's one way Solomon used wisdom, like a sword, to cut through the confusion and deception of people in conflicts. And you remember in 1 Kings chapter 3, 2 women who were harlots came before the king. Solomon was king, and one of the harlots, both of these harlots had babies, both sons, both about the same time. One of the babies died in the night, and the mother of the baby who died switched out the babies. She took the other woman's baby who was still alive, and she, in its place, placed her dead baby. And when the woman woke up, she realized that the child was dead, but then she realized it wasn't her child. And so they go before the king. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, they bring their case before the king. And it's almost an impossible case to judge, because who's to know whose child is who? This is centuries before DNA testing. In verse 23, and the king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to one and half to the other. Then the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Wow. That's what understanding can do. Understanding is so important that the Queen of Sheba traveled across barren deserts to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And an ancient inscription was found from the Queen of Sheba. And in the inscription read, I went in through the treasury of wisdom, and I drew for myself the waters of understanding. Now, what are we to do when we have conflict with someone? Jesus gave us the instructions. And the step one, if you have a conflict with someone, is to go to them personally and privately and just try to work it out. And 9 times out of 10, that usually takes care of it. There's always those times, those few times when it doesn't take care of it. And in that case, Jesus says, go to them again with one or two, you know, others, witnesses. One who can mediate. If they still won't listen, then bring it to the church and let the church decide on that. And if they still won't listen to the church, then let them go. They're a troublemaker. They're not a peacemaker. Remember, 6 things the Lord hates, and 7 are an abomination to him. The last one who sows discord among brethren. The NIV translates that, a person who stirs up conflict. Some people are always stirring up conflict. They're easily offended. They're usually making accusations, causing trouble, dividing people. Whether it's in a church or a family, a marriage or a community, it's an abomination to the Lord. The seventh, sixth thing the Lord hates, seven are an abomination. And the seventh is one who sows division, discord, conflict among the brethren. So when one falls away, Paul says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, why should the spiritual be the ones? Because those are the ones with spiritual maturity. They're the ones with understanding. They're the ones who have the understanding to help, to speak the truth in love, and the understanding not to be enticed to fall away. So we need understanding for conflict resolution. We also need understanding dealing with controversy. Dealing with controversies. You know, 2020 has had more than its share of controversies. I mean, you don't have to look far to think of controversies we've had to deal with in this year. The COVID virus. I mean, the origins of the virus. I'd like to know if it was man-made or not. So the origins of the virus, man-made or not. The quarantine. Do we quarantine the sick or are we going to quarantine the healthy? That's a controversy. Normally we would quarantine the sick, but it appears that we're now quarantining the healthy. Masks or no masks? You know, hugs or no hugs? What about the police? The violence, the riots, the looting, the fires? And then on top of it, the disputed election. And after that, it's going to be the various COVID-19 vaccines. Agreeing on every detail of every aspect of every controversy is just unrealistic. We might as well all try to agree on what temperature the thermostat is set at. In another lesson, we will look at Paul's instructions on accepting one another, even with differences of opinion. But let's understand one thing here about controversy. And that is that controversy is often a distraction from the truth. Controversy is often a distraction from the truth. A former police officer explains the tactics of thieves. They enter the store as a group, and one or two separate themselves from the group, and the others start a loud commotion in another section of the store. This grabs the attention of the clerks and the customers as all eyes are turned to the disturbance. The accomplices fill their pockets with merchandise and cash, leaving before anyone suspects. Hours, sometimes even days later, the victimized merchant realizes things are missing and calls the police. Too late. Do you see how they use distraction? And Satan uses the same strategy to seduce us by distractions while our churches are being ransacked. Paul wrote to Timothy, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they are conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant friction between people. That's how Satan, he seduces us with distractions while our churches are ransacked. Jesus said, "The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy." The enemy steals our joy, kills our hope, and then destroys our future. Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have it more abundantly. That means joy of salvation, set free by the truth, forgiven and loved by God. So we need understanding to deal with controversy. We also need understanding for a healthy marriage. 1 Peter 3:7, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." We need understanding within our marriage relationship. You know, Lisa's parents were on vacation when they were pulled over. It was a speed trap, and the police officer walked up and asked Ron where he was going. Ron said, "It's our 50th anniversary, and we're headed from Virginia Beach to Hilton Head." The police officer bent forward and looked in through the window and looked right at Brenda. And he said, "Has he been good to you for 50 years?" And she said, "Yes, he has." The officer said, "All right, you guys go on." And he let him go. You know, when they told me that story, I said, "Ron, Abraham asked his wife to lie to get him off the hook. And Brenda didn't even have to lie to get you off the hook." And he laughed and he said, "Well, I'm not so sure." Ron understood that she had grace and bailed him out of a bad situation. Brenda would never lie, but Brenda always forgives. You see, marriage is already hard, but a year of COVID isolation only makes it harder. A social scientist who studied families that were affected by the radioactive cloud that had spread from Chernobyl, that meltdown at the Chernobyl site, when that hit the atmosphere, it released radiation into the air, and then as it hit the jet stream or the winds, it was carried, and at this point nobody knew except those in the area. Russia had not announced yet that there was a fallout from a nuclear reactor. But northern European countries began picking up radiation, higher levels of radiation, in Finland and Sweden, and even in Germany. And then, of course, the news was released that there had been a nuclear meltdown at Chernobyl. And the social scientist who studied families and children after this fallout called it a massive fear vector. A massive fear vector that spreads from a dramatic event. Like the fallout of Chernobyl, we right now are under a massive fear vector. It's affecting marriages, it's affecting families, it's affecting children. And like nuclear radiation, COVID-19 is invisible, but the fear is not. A sociologist who worked with families and children during the Great Depression found that even during an economic collapse, marital harmony and, by extension, attentive parenting could be maintained if the mother made herself, in effect, the human barrier between the stresses of the outside world and the refuge of the home. Economic pressures would then fall on the breadwinner, husband. But, quote, "as long as the wife supported the husband, there was a lot less chaos in the home, and the kids would do better." So this fear vector affects everyone, but in different ways. And since our spouse knows us better than anyone else, and we know them better than anyone else, we should be able to understand one another better than anyone else. You know, if one had a bad day, the other should be able to understand and give some grace. One may internalize stress. They get quiet. The other needs to verbalize their stress. They can't be quiet. We need understanding to help one another. The truth is, a husband and wife should complete one another, not compete with one another. And they do complete one another when they don't compete with one another. It's a division of roles that help each other and the family as a whole. I love it when a brother in Christ puts things in perspective. And one of them told me, I let my wife make the small decisions, like where we're going to live. And I make the big decisions, like whether we should invade Iran or not. So, honey, please just let me make the geopolitical decisions. We need understanding for a healthy marriage. We also need patience. We need understanding for patience with misunderstandings. We need understanding for patience with misunderstandings, even with difficult personalities. Two of the women in the Philippian congregation were not getting along. And Paul mentions them by name. Philippians 4:2, I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Some have pointed out that even though these two women weren't getting along, it appears from the context their names are still written in the book of life. But on the other side, imagine if you were immortalized, remembered forever in the Bible for not getting along. That's what's happened here. These two women are named by name and remembered for not getting along with one another. We live in a broken world, and we're all broken in some way. And broken people have sharp edges that hurt other people. We are not called to be difficult with one another. We are called to love one another. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So we need understanding for patience with misunderstandings. And we also need understanding to be able to encourage. It's hard to encourage one another without having understanding. And Satan wants you to be discouraged, but we're commanded to encourage one another. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. In fact, did you know that when you encourage someone in the faith, you're participating in something that God does for us? It's a spiritual work. Notice Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. That word for encouraging one another is the Greek word parkaleo, and it means to call alongside. It's the same Greek word related to parakletos, advocate, translated advocate, or comforter, counselor, helper. It literally means someone to stand by you and help and strengthen you. And it's used of Jesus as our advocate and the Holy Spirit as our comforter. So when you go alongside someone, not in front of them, not behind them, but alongside them, you are helping them. You are strengthening them. You are comforting them. And as a child of God, you are never alone, because this is what God does for us. We also need understanding to be able to sympathize with one another. Husbands, sympathize with your wife. Wives, sympathize with your husbands. Parents, sympathize with your children, and children with your parents. Be kind to everyone, for you don't know what they're going through. I remember hearing Stephen Covey share the story of the time he was on a bus in the city, and there were some children running up and down the aisle being loud and obnoxious. Passengers were getting irritated at these kids, and the atmosphere was getting tense. They just wouldn't settle down. It was getting more and more tense, and Covey could see the father wasn't going to do anything to calm the kids down. So Covey turned and told the father his children were causing passengers to be upset. He brought it to the father's attention to see if he would do something about it. The father was in deep concentration, and when he realized what Covey had said, he replied, "Oh, yeah, I guess they are being loud. I don't know what they're going to do. We just came back from the hospital. Their mom is dying." That was a paradigm shift for Covey. Here he was, worried about how loud the kids were and how tense it was making everyone feel, not even realizing that these kids were losing their mom, who was in the hospital dying. We should sympathize with one another. We don't know what other people are going through. And, you know, we should sympathize because Jesus sympathizes with us. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need understanding to be able to sympathize. We need understanding to be able to forgive. You know, when Jesus taught the disciples to pray, it begins with God, heaven and earth, then us, past, present, and future. And in it, he says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then, to make the point crystal clear, after the prayer, Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." You see, I need the understanding to see the speck in my brother's eye, but also to see the beam in my own eye. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. See, I need to be as forgiving with others as I want God to be forgiving with me. And that's going to take understanding. And lastly, we need understanding to help one another get to heaven. The enemy wants us distracted. He wants us divided and discouraged. Rather than letting distractions divide us, let's keep the main thing the main thing. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We need to help one another get to heaven. That's why we need understanding. And this is why Jesus went to the cross for our sins. Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You see, his blood was shed for our sins. We are buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Now he's at the right hand of God, intercessing for us right now. It takes understanding to put the whole thing together, to place things in their proper context and proportion, to realize that we need to have some understanding to help one another get to heaven, not to minor in the majors and major in the minors, not to make mountains out of molehills, but to help one another get to heaven. May God bless you as you seek to gain more and more spiritual understanding.